The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whispering Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Mystic cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part three, in which we take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, 0, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular Investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part three of our review of the Mystic cards in the revised core set. This time we are taking a look at the upgrades. We are starting off with Mind Wipe. It is a one-cost event that costs one experience point. It has a willpower and combat skill icon, the spell trait, Fast, play after a phase begins. Choose a non-elite enemy at your location. Treat the chosen enemy's printed text box as if it were blank, except for traits, until the end of the phase.
Matt, help me out here. What does this card do?
Very, very narrow things. And it's... I wish this card wasn't in the core set. This is not a new player card. Because you gotta learn, like, what a trait is. You got to learn about what does elite mean. You got to learn all this stuff just after you've drawn this card. And even then, like, it doesn't blank things like the damage value or the horror value, or, you know, because it looks like they could be in the text box, but are they really in the text box? No, they're not. You got to look in your rules reference to find that out. Yeah, I just wish this card wasn't in the core set. It has some very, very specific niche cases, but not for a new player. Oh, man. Like,
I've never played this card. I honestly, like, don't even know how to evaluate this card, because...
Yeah, there are some... Okay, so there are some campaigns that have very specific enemies that you want to blank and not just murderize. Example, Forgotten Age, where a lot of the enemies have, like a permanent penalty for defeating them. Mind Wipe blanks that. But you gotta know that going in, you know? So it's like your first time you play campaigns, you're not going to know what Mind Wipe is good for or whether it's going to be good at all. It can blank Aloof, which can be nice, but again, that is very niche. Retaliate can blank that, but the things you really want to blank Retaliate on are Elite anyway, so it's not going to help you. Yeah, like I said, this is a niche card, and I wish it wasn't in the core set.
I think very one of specific. The main uses for it is in Undimensioned and Unseen. There are some big enemies in that have very specific requirements to kill them, and Mind Wipe can blank them and make them a lot easier to deal with. But yeah, you're right, Matastrophic. This card requires knowledge. You need to know what you're going up against. You need to know whether an enemy is worth blanking or not. The idea of blanking a text box seems really good in theory, but in practice, honestly, I've played hundreds of games of the Arkham Horror LCG without blanking a single text box and have done fine. And I will continue to play without blanking text boxes, and I'll be fine. There is a level 3 upgrade for this in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot product. I can't honestly tell you what it does because I don't play the level 1 version, and upgrading to the level 3 version doesn't seem really worthwhile. So yeah, this card doesn't belong in the box, and I'm not too sure why it was included in the box in the first place. Maybe they felt there was some enemies worth blanking. Maybe the goat spawn for the horror when you kill it, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe they added non-elite at the very end in playtesting, and it was mainly there to, like, blank the ghoul priest Retaliate. Who knows?
Why? Well, you can't even play this in the Gathering, though, so, like, why would...
That's right.
Unless you fail to defeat the ghoul priest and he shows up later, I mean, I guess, yeah. But... anyway, this one is going to get an auto fail for me. In the core set, it might creep up to an Elder Thing outside of the core. if you're very skilled and you know exactly why you're playing this and you have a specific enemy in mind that you want to target, then it gets a little better. But man, this is doesn't belong in the revised core and is very narrow outside of that.
Yeah. In the core set, it's definitely an auto fail. I think one saving grace is that it's a spell traded card so that you can find it with Arcane Initiate, which may come up. Like, if you plan to play this card, at least it's a spell. But yeah, don't play this card.
Yeah, if it had two willpower icons, I'd feel better about it because then, okay, so if you have a card with like a very, very niche effect, if it had two willpower icons, at least you have a very general use alternative to playing, you know, to actually playing the Mind Wipe. But no, don't play this card. It's a tentacle. Just use it for proxy more wards of protection. There you
One
go.
other,
You know, I might consider it might be worthwhile had it been like if it was attached to that enemy and blanked it permanently. So like blanking a Night Gaunt would be valuable because it's because of the they're a pain to evade. But blanking a Night Gaunt for a turn so you can evade it is just like, well, what's the point? You really haven't accomplished a lot. You've wasted cards and resources to do something that's just not going to pay off in the long term. So yeah, don't play this card. Spend your experience points elsewhere.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing against this card is that oftentimes enemy text boxes are just blank by virtue of playing the game. Like, you either kill the enemy or evade it. And unless it does something in between those two, like, times, it's not really that effective or doesn't really matter that much, so.
I think this is another one of those cards, and there are a few of them in this core set, like Barricade, that were designed for the game that Arkham Horror did not turn out to be when it came to like how nasty enemies were and what was on their text boxes. I think it's another one of those.
It's hard to actually come up with text boxes that I would feel that are worth blanking a lot of the time, because I think you're right, Nate. You know, the enemy is either dead, in which case its text box doesn't matter, or its text box doesn't do anything dangerous. So spending a resource and a card to blank it is not really worthwhile outside of very narrow corner cases. If there were a lot more enemies out there that sort of stuck around longer than a turn, then sure, maybe blanking it for a phase, but it's just a phase, right? That's the thing. It's
Oh, so it doesn't even have it blanked in the enemy phase, so you can't blank a hunter.
The next card we're going to take a look at is Blinding Light 2. This is an upgrade for Blinding Light. One cost event, costs 2 XP, has a willpower and agility skill icon spell trait. Evade. This evasion attempt uses willpower instead of agility. If you succeed, deal 2 damage to the enemy just evaded. If a skull, cultist, tablet, elder thing, or auto fail symbol is revealed during this evasion attempt, lose 1 action this turn and take 1 horror. So upgrading to the level 2 version of Blinding Light gets you an extra damage, which is good. Doesn't give you a willpower bonus, which is kind of unusual for a lot of the Mystic upgrades. Usually you do get some sort of bump there, but not in this case. And the downside is worse because you lose an action and take a horror this time around. So I didn't
Man.
like the level 0 version of this card, and I don't really like the level 2 version of this card, with the exception of the 2 damage, which can actually combine that with a shriveling charge, and you're killing a lot of tough enemies.
Man, talk about kicking a card while it's down. That, you know, losing one action you can plan around. You know, you play it as the last card in your turn, like as a safety valve, sure, but now I gotta take a horror. Like, man, come on. Why do you gotta do this to me? I feel like if you're playing a card like Blinding Light, you're not playing it for the damage, really. Like, maybe in the core set alone, you might be playing it for the damage, but generally, a card like this, you're not playing it to deal damage. You're playing it to evade something. You know, like Matastrophic said in the original review of Blinding Light. You're playing this for that evasion attempt, not for the dealing of damage.
So I will say that unlike Blinding Light level 0, I actually kind of like this one because of the numbers. Cost 1 is a lot less than cost 2. 2 damage is a lot more than 1 damage. So you're spending 1 resource to get kind of 3 actions worth of effort. If you're managed to, you know, succeed and you deal 2 and an evasion, I'm like, okay, this is like, now we're in the zone where this is actually feeling pretty decent for a card. Blinding Light level 0 was you spent 2, you got 1 damage and an evade, so you spent 2 resources to get 2 actions worth of effort. If you succeed, it's like, tentacle, it's so bad. But this one, I feel like, the numbers put this one over the edge to be like, maybe consider this.
But do you consider this outside of the core set?
Pretty rarely. I actually played this a decent amount. I think around the Circle Undone era. This was before we got some really good spell events. I think I considered this because it doesn't take up a spell slot. And you get to do something you may only need to do once a game, which is like get a really key evade. So I think this really has this place, like depending on your card pool and depending on what your other spell options are. Like I've played this a few times because, like I said, I feel like the numbers make it pretty decent.
Yeah, at least in Agnes, if you do end up taking that horror, it is an extra damage. Yeah.
So, 3 damage. I
mean, there is that, I guess. Like yeah, I will agree with you that, you know, the price is certainly much better in this circumstance, and. If you just have the revised core set, this is an okay upgrade, honestly, for Agnes.
That's right.
I think.
I have played this in Agnes a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, Agnes's options in the revised core are pretty limited in terms of upgrades, as we'll see. You're not buying Mind Wipe, so you've got to spend your experience points on something after Rite of Seeking, which we'll look at in a moment. And so there aren't a lot of good options in the Mystic card pool, so you can do a lot worse than Blinding Light. I still don't think I would rate it higher than an Elder Thing. I just, especially as your card pool grows, because you do get better options. But I think in the revised core, maybe a 0, maybe.
I give it a 0, actually. Like I said, I like the numbers on it, and I have used it before to decent effect. I feel like it's a 0. It's not amazing, but I think it's fine if you don't have better options.
Yeah, in the core set, I think this gets a 0 just by virtue of there just not really being much else for Agnes in the box. Yeah. So you just kind of have to take him when you can get it, and it's fine enough. Like we said, you know, 1 resource and 1 card for essentially 3 actions worth of stuff is pretty good.
The next card we're going to take a look at is Book of Shadows. This is a 4-cost asset that costs 3 experience points, willpower and intellect skill icons, item and tome trait. You have 1 additional arcane slot. As an action, you may exhaust the Book of Shadows to add 1 charge to a spell asset you control. And this takes up a hand slot. This is your only way to add charges to cards in the core set, and adding charges to cards is a pretty tough thing to do until your card pool expands. There still aren't that many cards that add charges, but man, this is the worst of them. It's so expensive and so slow.
It's very slow.
And man, I really dislike this card.
I wish this card was level 2, as it would be better in Daisy, because Daisy can trigger this action for free, but...
Oh, she can't take it. That's right.
But she can't take it because it's level 3, so... which is just so confusing to me. Like, why wouldn't this be a level 2 card so that Daisy could take it?
Daisy... Now, speaking of upgrades, there is a level 1 upgrade that Daisy can take in the Unspeakable Oath pack. So at least it becomes a little more cost efficient. So you're, instead of spending an action every time, she can use her free trigger or her ability to trigger this tome for free. The level,
but it's not kick...
Level
it's
1
not
version.
Gonna kick out old oh, it's not gonna kick out old Book of Lore though.
No. Like,
it's very slow, and I guess when they were first designing the game before they knew what direction the Mystic was gonna take, I can see why you would have one in the deck. I understand. But if you have any other use for that card slot in your deck, just drop this thing.
Yeah.
Four resources.
so expensive.
So, and like, it's so Mystics slow. Don't have a ton to begin with, yeah. And spending four on this is just so much. I mean, the additional arcane slot, even within the revised core, there just aren't enough spells to really require an additional arcane slot. And once your card pool expands, man, they start giving away arcane slots like it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Especially lately, where you can pick up cards that will turn all of your accessory slots into arcane slots too.
Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Man, this is just so, so expensive and so slow. If Daisy could take this, I would be willing to rate it higher. But as it stands, I have to give this one an auto fail.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I mean, when you compare this to just playing another Shriveling, it would cost you an extra resource. It would cost you four extra actions to get the charges back onto the original Shriveling, and three experience. So, yeah. Man, what a tall price to pay for such a minor effect. This card is 100% a trap. Do not play it.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good way to put it, a trap.
Guard's an auto fail for me, without question. Yeah.
It's an auto fail. In fact, this is actually a good way to kind of restate the point I was making earlier about Blinding Light level 2. Because compare this card to Blinding Light level 2. This card costs 3 XP, 4 resources to get it to put into play, and then another action to get your first charge on the Shriveling. Blinding Light level 2, you spend 1 resource, you spend 2 XP, you don't have to spend that additional action, and you get the effect of another charge of Shriveling right out of the gate. So, like, this is a very slow asset, and this is a good lesson into, like, what events can do for you. You know, and how events, like, it may be really tempting to, like, when you're first starting out to load up on assets because, you know, you need lots of ammunition, lots of chances at everything. But this is when you can start learning that events are pretty good too, because they get it done. They get the job done without having to spend lots of time.
Yeah, when you put it that way, Matastrophic, I have to bump my rating for Blinding Light 2 up to a 0 at least, because when you put it that way, this looks even worse, because it's just, that one charge of Shriveling is going to deal probably 2 damage, but you can get that far cheaper with Blinding Light 2. The next card is Grotesque Statue. It is a 2-cost asset that costs 4 experience points. Wild skill icon, item and relic trait, uses 4 charges. If Grotesque Statue has no charges, discard it. As a response, when you would reveal a chaos token, spend 1 charge, reveal 2 chaos tokens instead of 1. Choose 1 of those tokens to resolve and ignore the others. The Grotesque Statue takes up a hand slot. What do you guys think about the statue?
It's a pretty good effect. This boosts your consistency up to I don't know what the numbers are, man. From, like, you're the numbers guy of the three of us, but this card definitely generates a good amount of consistency for you. You end up passing tests that you had no business otherwise passing. It's also nice to dodge those spooky tokens. In case you're playing like a Blinding Light or something, you do not want to draw one of those special tokens, and you can just ignore it with a card like this. 4 experience is a good chunk of experience, but I think within the confines of the revised core set, we've been saying that Agnes really doesn't have a lot to spend her experience on, and I think a card like this does her pretty well, especially because there isn't a lot of contest for the hand slots in Agnes, so you don't have to worry about that too much.
Exactly what I was thinking. It is a luxury upgrade at 4 XP. It's quite a bit, and it's not letting you do a whole lot that you weren't already able to do. It just makes you better able to land the test. 2 XP for 4 charges is quite a bit. I mean, it's got a beefy amount of charges, and I think the key thing is that on key tests, you can avoid getting an auto fail. In Agnes in particular, if you have this, if you draw an auto fail and a -4, you've also got lucky to lean on. So, like, you're in consistency heaven if you've got this playing Agnes.
Chaos Bag Manipulation is a very powerful ability. It is not something that is very well developed in the revised core, the Grotesque Statue being really the only example of it. Mystics receive an awful lot of Chaos Bag Manipulation outside of the revised core. There are plenty of ways of drawing additional tokens. Jacqueline Fine from the Jacqueline Fine Investigator Starter deck lets you draw an additional token. There is an ally, Olive McBride, lets you draw an additional token. Jim Culver from the Dunwich Legacy lets you manipulate the tokens in certain ways. So Chaos Bag Manipulation does really rear its head ahead as your card pool expands. Like you said, the ability to draw two tokens and choose the one you want is fantastic on those difficult skill tests where you're not too sure if you're going to pass or not. If failure is not an option, the ability to draw two and pick one almost guarantees that you will pass. It's really important to note with chaos bag manipulation effects like this, when you draw the two tokens, if you draw, say, one of those special tokens when you're using Shriveling or Blinding Light, and you ignore that token, you do not trigger the effect. So say if you draw a minus two and a skull and you're using Shriveling and you ignore the skull, you do not take the horror. Tokens that are ignored do not trigger. That is something that can be easy to miss. These sorts of effects give you a way around things like Blinding Light and Shriveling from hurting you if you don't want them to. Like you said, Matastrophic, not a lot of competition for the hand slots in Agnes. Again, 4 XP is quite a bit. There is a level 2 upgrade in the Jacqueline Fine starter deck that's a little bit cheaper in terms of experience points if you want to go that route. There is a combination that you can use with Agnes if you can get her to actually be able to investigate. She can recycle this thing with scavenging. It's a little bit hard to get working because scavenging does require you to investigate successfully, which Agnes is not particularly good at doing right out of the box, but if you do use all your grotesque statue charges and it ends up in your discard pile, Agnes could get it back. How would you rate this one?
Within the confines of the revised core set, this is definitely more of a luxury upgrade, like we were saying earlier. So it's not something I would prioritize in Agnes, but if you have the experience lying around, say in Scenario 3, this is going to be a really good pickup for you. One other thing to note, too, is that it has the relic trait, which actually comes up quite a bit as you expand your card pool. There's a investigator in particular that quite likes relics, and having that trait is really beneficial as well. And the item trait is also really good. So there are plenty of ways that you can fetch this card as well, making that ounce of consistency that much more consistent.
What was your rating, though?
Probably a 0. It's fine. You know, within the core set, it's fine. And I do think it gets a lot better as you expand your card pool.
I'd give this one a +1 because when you're choosing upgrades, if you've got the XP, it's always going to be good for you. It may not be the very best card because you probably want to prioritize new spells that are going to do new things for you. But this is really good. Like the fact that you can ignore auto fails on really important tests against things that have retaliate. Very nice. And of course, we were talking about how you can deal with some of the nasty effects of symbol tokens.
Yeah, one thing to note about this card is that unlike a lot of the other chaos manipulation, you don't really have to build your deck around this card for it to be good. So
yeah,
that's you just nice, use it. Yeah, you just use it and it's good.
Yeah, this one takes up a hand slot, whereas certainly someone like Olive McBride, you're having to dedicate your ally slot to that. And that can be tough when you've got the Arcane Initiates. To put the Arcane Initiate on the sidelines can be, that's a tough call sometimes. I think I'd agree with you, Matastrophic, and give this one a +1. It's not the first thing you're going to be upgrading, but the effect is quite powerful, and you get to use it 4 times a game, which is pretty good. It's probably even more than you would need it, to be honest, that you would be taking 4 tests where it's just like, I can't fail this thing, so I'm going to use this. But it's nice that this doesn't exhaust. So if you are, say, involved in a clutch combat where you simply cannot fail, you can simply just drain this thing for 3 combat skill tests and know with a pretty reasonable amount of certainty, if you're using Shriveling, that you're not going to be failing those tests and or taking horror from them if necessary. So the power is certainly there. It is just that XP cost that makes this a tough sell, I think. Spending 4 to purchase 1 is a lot. Spending 8 to purchase 2 so you can actually have a reasonable chance of drawing it is that's a
hell of a lot.
Yeah, I find once the XP cost of cards starts to creep above 2, they become harder and harder to justify unless they just do something so absolutely fantastic that that you can't live without it. Speaking of upgrades that you will be purchasing, we have Rite of Seeking level 2, 4 cost asset, 2 experience points, 1 intellect skill icon, spell trait, uses 3 charges, spend 1 charge, investigate. Investigate using willpower instead of intellect. You get +2 willpower for this skill test. If you succeed, you discover 1 additional clue at this location. If a skull, cultist, tablet, elder thing, or autofail symbol is revealed during this test, after this test resolves, lose all remaining actions and immediately end your turn. It takes up an arcane slot. If you would like Agnes to do any sort of investigating in the revised core set, this is the first card that you should be picking up.
I mean, Agnes just doesn't have any better way of investigating than Rite of Seeking level 2. You have Look What I Found, you have Flashlight, but unless you're also going to be committing perceptions and things like that, you're going to have a hard time investigating most locations in the game. I mean, Rite of Seeking is just a huge boon for Agnes. Again, Daisy's not going to need this card, so don't put it in Daisy.
No, you don't need it in Daisy. It's so expensive for Daisy, but the fact that it discovers 2 clues is also very important.
Yeah, this allows Agnes to carry her weight when it comes to clue finding, especially in the second scenario where clues are very critical.
Yeah. Also, one thing to not knock here that's actually kind of relevant, especially as your card pool expands and you get different mystics, the fact that it adds 2 to your investigate test, well, your willpower test to investigate, is actually like, it's very good. It'll put investigators from like a 4 to a 6 or a 5 to a 7, and then you're feeling like really good about landing the Rite of Seeking all by itself, even before you get out a Holy Rosary or before you boost your willpower in other ways. This card's very good. Yeah.
Now, losing your all remaining actions and ending your turn if you draw one of the special symbols can be a huge pain. Of course, you do have cards like Grotesque Statue, which can help you avoid that. But the best bet is just to play around it and use this on your as your final action of the turn. Move to a new location, and then as your final action, investigate to get... Agnes is investigating at a 7 for 2 clues with no downside. That's you don't get much better than that. There is a level 0 version in the Dunwich Legacy box and a level 4 version in the Undimensioned and Unseen Mythos pack, both of which will be coming out in the Dunwich Legacy Investigator expansion. So if the level 2 version of Rite of Seeking doesn't float your boat, you can pick up the level 0 version, which I believe is basically the same, except you don't get the willpower skill boost. And the level 4 version, I can't honestly remember what it does, but probably a higher willpower boost, and you get 2 clues. Two additional clues. So especially good in a multiplayer setting where you need to, if you're trying to pull your weight and discover a lot of clues, that's a card you're going for. How would you rate this one in the revised core?
I mean, in the revised core, this is a slam dunk Elder Sign for me. Agnes has no better way of investigating than Rite of Seeking level 2. That being said, I do think this card loses a little bit of stock once you expand your card pool. There are some other assets that you can play that might be more appealing to you. Clairvoyance or Sixth Sense come to mind. Those are also very good ways of investigating in the Mystic card pool, but Rite of Seeking level 2 is a very solid option. You're not going to be sad that you have that in your deck.
Yeah, I think when you're building Agnes, if you had 2 Rite of Seeking level 2s and 2 Flashlights, I think you're pulling your weight at that point. If you can use Flashlight to deal with low shroud locations, like 2 shroud locations, great. Agnes doesn't need her hand slots for anything but Flashlights, so use it there. So between Flashlight and Rite of Seeking level 2, I think Agnes can investigate pretty well.
And you also have Drawn to the Flame as well, so...
Right, and you've got Drawn to the Flame, so that's 6 cards right there.
And then if you do pick up some cards later, you can pick up, the level 0 version of Rite of Seeking. You can start that in your Investigator right at the beginning of the campaign. You pick up the Threads of Fate Mythos pack for Arcane Research, and suddenly upgrading to Rite of Seeking level 2 costs you 1 experience point. So 2 for a set rather than 4 for a set, which is pretty nice. And then if you're playing in multiplayer and you need to take that step up to the level 4 version, Arcane Research will give you a discount on that as well. So certainly there's a nice upgrade path here for players if they if and when they need to upgrade their Rites of Seeking and or Shrivelings. Yeah, this one's an elder sign for me as well. It's just Agnes doesn't have a lot of great options, and this one definitely fills in a huge hole that was in the original core set and gives her something to spend her experience points on right away.
In fact, one thing I would actually suggest doing if you're a new player and you're waiting for the chance to get to pick up the Dunwich Legacy, which has Rite of Seeking level 0, just pretend that, you know, put this in your Agnes deck and pretend it's the level 0 version. Totally respect you if you do that, because I think it's that vital to playing Agnes.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The final upgrade in the box is Scrying level 3. It is a 1-cost asset that has 2 Intellect Skull icons, spell trait, uses 3 charges. As a free triggered ability, you can exhaust Scrying and spend 1 charge. Look at the top 3 cards of any Investigator deck or the Encounter deck. Return them to the top of that deck in any order. If a Terror or Omen card is among the looked at cards, take 1 Horror. Takes up an Arcane slot. It certainly solves the speed problem that Scrying level 0 has by turning the action into a free triggered ability. Is it worth the upgrade, though?
No. Bluntly speaking... Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, you want to be taking Horror, but you want to be taking it at select times when you have enemies engaged with you. Yeah. So if you just use this card to try to, you know, maybe you want to draw an enemy or something and you're trying to find an enemy, but you also happen to find an omen or a, you know, another treachery card like that, then you just take a Horror and then you have 1 less use of Agnes's ability all of a sudden. And that kind of sucks. And you have better things to spend your experience on. Like we just talked about Rite of Seeking level 2 and Grotesque Statue. Those are pretty solid upgrades. And if you find yourself with more than 10 experience or 12 experience, just get Blinding Light.
I love how I love how Blinding Light is becoming like the sleeper card of this Mystic card pool. You know, it's like the more we talk about it, the better it gets. No, but Scrying, I wish this was the level 0 version. This feels right for like a level 0 card, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I said with Scrying level 0, I think there are some big brain things you can do with this, and the fact that it's fast is very nice. But for general use, don't play this. Yeah,
there are a surprising number of treacheries that both have the Terror and Omen trait. And or the Omen trait, one of the main ones in the revised core being Frozen in Fear, which appears in many of the scenarios. Chances of you taking a Horror are pretty high. Again, yeah, I think this card is probably better off if you're going to play Gloria Goldberg or someone who really wants to go in all in on encounter deck manipulation. This card has some value. I don't think it has any value in the revised core, and I'm not entirely sure why they included this over something like Shriveling 3. Shriveling 3 would have made so much more sense.
Yeah.
Maybe they said, well, we're going to be reprinting Shriveling 3 in the Dunwich Legacy Investigator expansion soon anyway, so...
But they reprinted Rite of Seeking. Oh, wait, that wasn't in Dunwich Legacy, was it? That was in Return to the Dunwich Legacy.
So maybe that's the reason, but yeah, I don't understand why the designers decided that a better scrying was necessary. I agree with you, Matastrophic. This feels like it should have been the level 0 version. If this had been the level 0 version, I might actually consider playing it. I'm not paying 6 XP for this, though, to get 2 copies. No, I think Mystics have way better things. And again, you know, it's the arcane slots. It always comes down to the arcane slots, and Scrying was on the outside looking in when it came to arcane slots, and I think this one doesn't do enough to break that.
I think what happened was that somebody was going over the list of cards, and Shriveling and Scrying are probably right next to each other, and they accidentally printed Scrying level 3 instead of Shriveling level 3. I mean, that's just my... That's my tinfoil hat theory about what happened there, but I mean, I think Man from Lang's theory is probably more sensible, where they probably thought, okay, we're going to be reprinting the level 3 version in the Dunwich Legacy, so we'll hold off until then, but scoring level 3 is just kind of the butt of a joke.
But really. Guys, Charisma and Relic Hunter were in Dunwich Legacy.
Yeah, but you want as many copies of those cards as you can get, because so many decks want those cards.
So did we, I don't know if we rated this one. What was the rating?
Tentacle?
It's a big fat tentacle for me.
Yeah, and I think in the revised core, this one's a tentacle. Unless you're going to go out and buy Gloria Goldberg as your next purchase, she gets a little bit extra oomph out of these scrying type effects. So yeah, save it for her. Otherwise, yeah, you're not going to be spending 6 XP on this.
And like, even in Gloria, is this arguably better than the level 0 version? Like, yes, it does save you actions, but if the whole point is you to like get value out of doing stuff like this, is spending 6 XP on that really necessary? I don't know. Plus, taking horror also sucks in her because she doesn't have a lot of soak. So it's rough.
Yeah, she's probably better off just sticking with the level 0 version and spending her XP on things that let her do new things like Rite of Seeking.
And so, she also gets access to the seeker cards that let her manipulate the encounter deck. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So, if Gloria Goldberg is using this card, she can trigger her response to look at an additional card. So, you're looking at 4 instead of 3. And then you get to choose one non-elite card among them and either discard it or put it on top of the encounter deck or place it face down beneath Gloria Goldberg. So, she does get more value out of scrying. The ability to look at 4 and then discard something you really don't want to see and then reorganize the other 3.
That's... Well, and also don't forget, especially in a 4-player game, the fact that she can put a card underneath her, that's even better than putting it in the discard pile because it won't reshuffle. In a 4-player game especially, you're going to go through that encounter deck multiple times. So the fact that she can look at the top 4, pick the nastiest one, bury it forever, that's pretty good. But then again, this is getting into like very specific, like I'm playing Gloria Goldberg in a 4-player game, so thus scrying has a use. It doesn't save scrying, you know.
Yeah, in the revised core set, yeah, we're speaking of the revised core set. Yeah, this is Gloria won't save it until she is officially released at some point down the road. That's going to do it for our look at the upgrades in the revised core set for the Mystic class. I've said it once, I've said it many times, Mystic is one of my favorite classes in the game, and I have played a ton of Mystic, and when we sat down to review the upgrades, what a disaster. It's just so, so bad. Mind Wipe really has no business being in the revised core. The Book of Shadows is way too slow. Scrying doesn't really have a role. The fact that Blinding Light level 2 starts to look really, really good in this pack is a testament to just how bad most of the other upgrades are in this box. You know, Grotesque Statue is good. I'll give it that. But man, oh man, when Blinding Light 2 starts to look appealing, you know you've got a problem.
At least they gave us Rite of Seeking level 2.
Yes.
I think that's a huge saving grace for the Mystics in this box. So it's a glass half full, glass half empty situation, I think, with the Mystics in this box. Like, there's enough good stuff in here to spend your experience on within the 3 scenarios that you're going to be playing of the core box, but if you like Mystics, you should be looking to buy some more cards because there's not going to be a lot to build more interesting decks with in this box, unfortunately.
Truth be told, a lot of Mystics do tend to stick to very straightforward upgrade lines. Like, you're upgrading your Rite of Seeking, you're upgrading your Shriveling, and it's only after you've upgraded those key spells do you start to explore what else the card pool has to offer and stretch out into things like Grotesque Statue and stuff like that. But the fact that you know, an upgraded Shriveling isn't available in this box is really, I think, egregious to me. It's such an important card for Mystics that not having that is really felt, especially when they include something so narrow as Mind Wipe, that not only is it's a very difficult card to use, but it's also such a narrow card to use that...
I also wish that they put an extra Shriveling level 3 in here, because it would have given Daisy the ability to play the level 0 versions once Agnes had upgraded into the level 3 versions, which would have been just a really nice quality of life thing for newer players.
Shriveling Sisters.
You know, it's just a card you really can't have enough copies of. Like, having 4 copies of Shriveling level 3 just means you get to play 2 Mystics in your party without having to dip into somebody else's collection.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.